this.
All right. Jeremiah 49 and the first few verses dealing with the fall of the nation of Ammon, the Ammonites. But if you want to put a title on the sermon, we're talking about how trusting money makes us immoral. Because this seems to be it's a thing with all the nations. It's a common attribute among the nations, particularly as Jeremiah goes through these last few chapters here and deals with these heathen nations, Gentile nations, and they are the common theme seems to be they're very, very trusting of wealth, and that seems to be the thing, and that hasn't changed really. So Jeremiah chapter 49, let's read these verses and just a few points here about this. It says, concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad and his people dwell in his cities? So why are the Ammonites living in Israelite territory? And therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites. It shall be desolate, a desolate heap, where daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Hallow Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah, gird you with sackcloth, lament. Run to and fro by the hedges, for their king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes together. That's said a lot. You got government and religion all tied together. As much as people don't want to tie it together, it's just seems like it's tied together. Verse 4, wherefore gloriest thou in the valleys, thy flowing valley, O backsliding daughter, that trusted in her treasures, saying, who shall come unto me? Like I'm walled in by my wealth. Nobody can get to us. Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all those that be about thee. And you shall be driven out every man right forth, and none shall gather up him that wandereth. And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. And that's the prophecy against the Ammonites. You had Moab, you've got Egypt, you've got the Ammonites, you'll have the Edomites. A lot of these nations, minus Egypt, they just don't exist anymore. People are extinct as far as a nation. They're extinct. There's people who, if you dig far enough in their past, yeah, you could find that they were Ammonites in the past, but there are no such things as Ammonites now. There are no such things as Moabites now. That nation is history, and these nations are history. So Ammon's one of these nations. It has a little bit of history with the nation itself. Ammon and Moab were two sons of Lot, and they were sons based on these incestuous relationships that Lot had with his daughters. And so one of these relationships produced Ammon, who became the father of the Ammonites. He had children. Their children had children. They became a people. They became a people group who had land that was on the east side of the Jordan. And so they became a nation probably around 1500 or so B.C., 1500 B.C. And just like the Moabites, around 600 B.C., they fall off the face of the earth. And so all this is associated with the Babylonians and the massive destruction and conquering that Nebuchadnezzar did. And so the Ammonites fall under the captivity of the Babylonians, just like many other nations did. And eventually the nation itself is just sort of dispersed and loses its identity. So that all said, that's kind of the history of the nation of the Ammonites. And like I said, so today you don't know any Ammonites. I don't know any Ammonites. Ammonites don't know any Ammonites. There are no Ammonites because they don't exist anymore as a people group. So this is, I think sometimes this is why the Bible seems a little bit irrelevant to people, because you're reading about things that are long gone. And but it is it's history, and it deals with the cycle of nations, the lifespan of nations, and what they do to eventually destroy their own lives. And so the one thing that's pointed out in this little prophecy of Jeremiah is the big thing, really, that's pointed out is they trusted in their riches. They trusted in their wealth. And that was the thing they put their stock in. And so that breeds a lot of problems. But let's pray, and I'll give you a couple things about this little prophecy here about the Ammonites. But let's pray first. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you that Maureen had a good surgery this morning and got home and is recovering now. Pray that you'd help us this evening, help us get what we need out of your words and out of the study, and that you would help us apply what needs to be applied, help us identify areas of misplaced trust in our own hearts, and help us rectify that and make it right. We can trust in you and trust in someone that is trustworthy. And so I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I thought about a question. If you could reflect on your own heart and your own thinking, you think about something that if it were to fail. And I know it's hard to probably think about this or picture this scenario, but if there's something in life and in your life that would fail and it would really cause your whole belief system, your whole everything that you thought was right to be reconsidered, what is that thing? You don't have to yell it out or anything, but it's worth reflecting on. It's worth thinking about. You know, if this thing were to not go the way I want it to go, if this thing that I'm relying on were to fall apart, my entire beliefs, my perspectives on life, my perspectives on the Bible, all of that would fall apart. And maybe there's something like that in your life where if this happens, it causes you to question everything. And I don't know, maybe there's not something like that, or maybe you can't identify something like that. I think people go through those things and then they realize, man, I was actually trusting that thing. And when it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out, it caused a serious crisis of belief. I thought it was going to turn out a different way, and this thing fell apart. And so I say that because this is what happens when people trust in things that aren't trustworthy. They and wealth and money is one of those things that is not trustworthy. It's one of those things that it's good when it's good, but when it fails, it's a disaster. And so, but nations fall into this. People fall into it. It's one of the most common, probably, traps in this world, because money really makes the world go round. And so it's one of the most common traps of people. And you don't even have to be wealthy to trust money. You find out Ammonites, it's a nation, but comparatively speaking to nations around it, it's not the wealthiest nation. It's not the most prosperous nation. Moab was probably more prosperous than them. But even being, you know, ninth or tenth on the GDP list in the world, they still trusted in their riches. They still believed that no one could get to them because of the money they had. And that's just it's one of those things that is, it's very destructive in a lot of ways to put your trust in something that is just not trustworthy. And I'll give you a few thoughts on it real quick that are, I think they're really worth thinking about. When you trust something that is not trustworthy, it has a tendency, really, particularly with money, but it creates a road to immorality, because if your money doesn't make any judgments, and money is a great way of doing bad or good. It doesn't have any, it's not a judge of anything. It is a tool, and it's not like your creator, who is a judge. You trust your creator. Well, he's a judge. He has moral boundaries. He has parameters that he's created. And when we say moral boundaries, it's not just God wants to make moral boundaries. He's created things a certain way, and people start perverting those things that he creates. Now, when you trust in something that's inanimate, something that really has no power to see, hear, discern, it's just a tool to really get what you want to get. This thing is amazing what people will do for money when they trust money. You got Judas betraying Jesus Christ for just a little bit of money. People selling out other people just like that for a little bit of money. People stealing from people for money. It's just a hotbed of immorality when you put your trust in something that is so untrustworthy. And so here's this nation caught in this predicament where they believe, and this nation's been around. It's been around up to this point. It's been around for 1,000 years. And so here's a few things that the Lord says about this nation. Number one, I know we dealt with a lot of this trusting wealth. We'll get to a little bit more in a second. But number one, he says in verses 1 and 2, this nation, the Ammonites, they have trespassed their boundaries. When Israel was traveling out of the wilderness to go to the promised land, one of the places they had to go through was Ammonite territory. And the Lord told the Israelites, don't mess with the Ammonites. I've given them this land. Don't mess with them. Don't fight with them. I've given them this land. However, while Israel didn't do anything with the Ammonites, the Ammonites decided to start picking fights with the Israelites. And the age-old problem of who owns the land cropped up. And so the Ammonites picked a fight with the Israelites. And there's war between them for centuries and centuries. And so the Lord had told Israel, though, the Ammonites, I've given them this land, so don't try to take it from them. However, they encroach, they move past Jordan, the Ammonites move past Jordan, they get into the promised land, they pick fights with Israel, and not only that, they support others that pick fights with Israel. And so the Lord says, you've overstepped your boundaries. I gave you a certain piece of land, I've given Israel a certain piece of land, and you guys have overstepped your boundaries. That's verses 1 and 2 when he asks that question. Is Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth the king inherit Gad? Why is this foreign king on our soil? Why is he on Israelite ground? And the idea is you've trespassed the boundaries that I've set up. And so they really didn't have any regard for the God of Israel. They didn't have any regard for the Israelites as people. And so the Ammonites consistently and continually fight against the nation of Israel for centuries. David has battles with them. He deals with them. He puts them down. All through the judges. But they continually trespass their borders and overstep their allotted place. Second thing, and really is the big thing that we've been dealing with here, is verse 4. Not only did they trespass their boundaries for a long time. This goes on for a long time. Just as a comparison, if you remember, Ammon is a nation for probably 1,000 years. Comparatively speaking, we've been a nation for a couple hundred years. So we are not the big kids on the block in history. We are, as far as age, if history just drags on for years and years, who knows? We just maybe a splash in the bucket or whatever, Who knows what's going to be made of it? But we have not yet lived as long as some of these nations you're reading about that are dead and gone. And there's no remnants of them at this point. And so they trespass their boundaries. And then verse 4 says what we're talking about. They've trusted in their treasures and asked the question, who's going to come unto us? Who can approach us? And it is the same question. It's the same question that you get from in Ezekiel, that you get from the devil, you get from, well, we'll say the devil. I have all of this, these jewels, I have all of this money. I take a look at myself and I'm just like, who in the world can touch this? Who is going to get to this? And then you get to Revelation, and then you've got these congregations, Laodicean congregation, that says, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't have any need of anything. Who's going to get to us? And so that problem persists all through history. People continually to put their trust in something it's really very powerful in this world and in this life, but it's untrustworthy in the end. So here's a couple of things about just trusting in wealth, and really it breeds immorality. It is just a hotbed for disappointment. Jesus Christ says, you get to the New Testament, and Jesus Christ warns over and over about this stuff. And I'm just going to pick one place where it's really, really heavily warned against. But look in Matthew chapter 6. We could pick the rich young ruler, and he won't cut ties with his money. He just can't do it. It's just got such a hold on him. Can't do it. But here's something that Jesus preached about. And he said this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. This is Matthew 6, 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. The basic point of this is money is just not trustworthy. There are a multitude of ways to destroy it. There are a multitude of ways to lose it. There's a multitude of ways to... you can. Solomon said you can have it and not even be able to enjoy it sometimes. Yeah. It's And so Jesus Christ warns of this. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Don't put your stock in this stuff. You got to use it. You're gonna have to use it. You're gonna have to deal with it. But you need a right relationship with it. And if you put your trust in this thing, it's going to be gone eventually. And eventually, it's going to fail you. So, and you could say treasure is anything valuable to you, but the truth is, the treasure is just not worth, it's not worthy of your trust. So he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But, if you want to put your heart somewhere, if you want to put your, stake your claim or stake your life on something, it's going to be Jesus Christ, who he's going to obviously point to himself, but it's going to be Jesus Christ and his, like Paul would say, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And Paul would say that in Colossians. So here's Jesus Christ's warning of this. We'll keep going here. I should probably take you to some other verses, but I'll just give them to you real quick. You got in Matthew 19, I mentioned it a while ago, you got in Matthew 19, this rich man, he comes to Jesus Christ, he's a young man, he's got a lot of money, and got a lot of stuff, and he asks about eternal life, and what this whole conversation reveals, truly reveals, is that property, belongings, and things will come between people and Jesus Christ and their God. And the property and the wealth and the stuff will become a god. And it will be a god that you can't get rid of. You won't want to get rid of it, but it becomes a god that is, you are so, not indebted to, but it's worth more and of more value than the creator who made you. So in Matthew 19, you got this rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus Christ, asks about eternal life. Jesus says, well, go sell your stuff and follow me. Sell your stuff, give it to the poor, follow me. And then the rich young man goes away sad because he's so connected to his stuff. You've got another case where this wealthy man has very successful business. His farming is just increasing exponentially, and he says, I've got to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And so he gets so wrapped up in the business, he gets so wrapped up in making profit and continuing to make profit. The Lord says one night, thou fool, your soul's going to be required of you. And you've neglected the most important thing of your life to chase down something that's not going to last and it can't save you. And it's not going to provide the support when you most need it. And so that's in Luke 12, in this parable, this wealthy man. So he died very successfully. I mean, he's a very successful man, but successful in this world doesn't necessarily mean successful with God. And apparently he was not successful with God. And that's one thing Jesus Christ would say. Woe unto them who are not rich with God. Rich in this world, not rich with God. I mentioned again Revelation chapter 3, where this church of Laodicea, this congregation, has so much stuff. They just don't even know what to do with it. They have this bad relationship with all their belongings and their wealth, and you got Jesus Christ knocking on the door trying to get in, and they're just like, we've got, you know, what do we need? What in the world do we need? We have all of this stuff. And so it becomes this blinding thing. It becomes this blinding thing. It becomes this perverted trust where you're standing on something that's corruptible, something that's not going to last, something that in the day of reckoning, when things are all considered, and judgments made, stuff like that. It's not going to buy your way out. So the point is, over and over, like Paul would talk about, you got to have a right relationship with this stuff. You got to have a right relationship with money. You got to have a right relationship with wealth. And not a trusting relationship, but just you got to use it. You got to know how to handle it. And you don't want to put your trust in it, though. So that said, back to Ammon here. Couple things. They trespassed their boundaries, their borders. They attacked Israel multiple times throughout their history. They hated the nation of Israel. They disrespected God's parameters, not only geographically, but they disrespected God's parameters in their hearts. They trusted their treasures and their wealth in Jeremiah 49, verse 4. And so all of this back in Jeremiah 49 is a description of the eventual destruction of the nation. How it's going to fall apart and going to be destroyed, going to be taken captive. But there's a note on most of these prophecies. It's sort of a hint at what God's going to do in the future. And so at the very end of this prophecy, there's a little note of hope. Because in every nation, there were some groups of people, some people who had faith, they trusted God. They may not have had all the information, but you find it all the way through the Old Testament that there are constantly people outside of the nation of Israel who trust the God of Israel. And so, you read about Ruth and Rahab and folks like that, but it's all through the Old Testament. So the Lord says this at the very end of this little prophecy. He says in verse 6, "And afterward, I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord." I think he said the same thing with Moab. He did at the very end of that chapter. I bring again the captivity of Moab. Because at least one for sure. You know some Moabites that did the right thing. They did the right thing, and God blessed them for being faithful to the God of Israel. Ruth, of course. But in every nation, there are some remnant of people, some group of people that didn't believe the things of the nation. They didn't go along with the culture. They didn't go along with the trust. They weren't trusting the riches. They trust the God of Israel. And so in every nation, it's like that. And so when the Lord eventually will resurrect, will bring life back to these folks, they're people like Ruth, people like Rahab, they will be preserved in the future. Just like anybody else who's saved. And so he says over and over, he's going to turn the captivity of this nation, or turn the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord, because there's always a group that is as faithful, that believes in the God of Israel and trusts their Creator. Paul's going to talk about it in Romans chapter 2, but you'd find that in among all of these nations that God talks about. And even when the nation gets destroyed, that there's some remnant of people that are faithful that God would bless in the end, and they would gain an inheritance in the future. So that said, this is a very brief description of the fall of the nation of the Ammonites. A thousand-year-old history, thousand-year-old nation that is at this point in time has been gone for 2,500 years. However, in the future, there are going to be some Ammonites that were a part of that nation that believe the God of Israel and will have a future inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there you go. There's a prophecy of the Ammonites, the Ammonite people. So hope that's helpful. Don't trust in wealth. It's not worth trusting in. It can be helpful to have, but it's not trustworthy. So let's pray, and then we will take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. I do pray it's been helpful going through this and dealing with misplaced trust, and probably be beneficial for us to reflect on our own hearts and our own minds and things that we've placed trust in that really it would just shake our whole world if this thing fell apart. Ultimately showing, Lord, you're the one that's trustworthy. And you gave us your words to guide us, to direct us, to help us. And I pray that we would live by them. Thank you again for each soul that's here. Thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.